on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? Welcome back. It's another edition of the YokeCast podcast as we get closer and closer to the holiday break for Coyote Athletics. Gearing up for another episode in this one, and we've got great conversations coming up today with Bob Nielsen, the head football coach at the University of South Dakota. Obviously, it was the early signing period this week, so we'll talk to him about the class that his coaching staff introduced, and we will also chat with Chloe Lamb, a former, of course, women's basketball player, one of the greats all time at USD. Get caught up on her coaching career where she's at the University of Mary, and opportunity this week to chat with Chloe, talk to her about her coaching career and how all of that came together for her. So all of that is coming up in the show today. You know, we're hitting that spot in the year where we kind of have a lull in Coyote athletics. Not a whole lot going on, obviously, with the holiday break. We'll get to conference basketball season here at the end of the week, next week, a little over a week from now, obviously. We'll get that going. The women will be at home. The men will be on the road to open up conference play. It kind of split that opening weekend, actually, where the men will play at North Dakota State, home on New Year's Eve against the Omaha Mavericks. The women will do the exact opposite, so they'll get the road game this year on New Year's Eve. And then we'll take a little break from the action of Summit League play, get into the Big Sky Summit League Challenge, see how that goes this year, and then we'll be back into Summit League play. And before you know it, because this happens every time around the Christmas holiday, before you know it, we're talking about softball, right, in February, getting started. That's crazy. It's coming fast, though. And so the spring sports are right on the heels of things, and we'll see how things play out there. South Dakota announced this week that John Schemmel is returning to USD. He will be the director of athletics for the University of South Dakota. John Schemmel spent time until 2017 at USD. He moved on to Miami in Ohio to be a part of what they were doing, and then has spent the last couple of years at Dakota State University in Madison, South Dakota, and has done a great job with fundraising efforts really at every spot that he has been. And now he comes back to South Dakota. Passionate guy, comes back to South Dakota, and an opportunity to serve as the director of athletics. He takes over his duties January 2nd, so right after the Christmas holiday, he and his family will take over as the athletic director at the University of South Dakota. So congratulations to John Schemmel. We'll see if we can get a conversation with him for the YokeCast podcast coming up here in the near future. Well, as we get ready for the Christmas holiday, all that good stuff, I hope that you, however you choose to spend your holiday break, you get the opportunity to do it with family, friends, whatever it works for you. Maybe you're traveling, maybe you're staying home, whatever it is, hope you enjoy it. We've got a little break coming up, and I know that, you know, a lot of people this time of year, if you are, you know, whether you're in college athletics, whether you are just your everyday job, everybody hoping for a few days off, kind of reset the batteries a little bit this time of year. Then we get ready for New Year's, and kind of always a weird deal. Some people, you know, some of our jobs don't work the same as others, right? Some people get more time off during the Christmas holiday, the New Year's, and you kind of have a staggered week here a little bit, if you will. But nonetheless, it's a good time to recharge, and hopefully you're able to spend it however works for you, and enjoy the next couple of weeks with the Christmas holiday, and then of course the New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, all of that good stuff. And I don't know if you're into the whole resolution thing. I always think if you set a resolution, it's probably not going to work. Maybe that's just because for me they've never worked. But maybe for you, resolutions are a way of life. And if you go that route, you've got a little bit of time left to figure out how that's going to be for you this year, and how all of that is going to happen. Well, coming up in the show, we will talk to Bob Nielsen, head football coach at the University of South Dakota. He signed earlier this week a handful of guys to the football program, trying to build off of that momentum from a playoff season here this past season for Coyote football. But to get it started, Chloe Lamb, one of the great women's basketball players at the University of South Dakota, and now embarking in the coaching world, which she has been for the last a little under 2 years. But Chloe joins us now to talk about her transition from a player to a coach. Chloe, first of all, how are you? It's great to chat with you.
I am very good, John. It's good to hear your voice again. I'm still not over you switching to the men's side on the radio, but I guess we'll get over it. This phone call is bringing back some good memories.
Well, you were easy to have memories of because you played at a high level all of the time. And obviously it wasn't that long ago, right, that you were playing for South Dakota. But I don't know if it feels long, if it feels like you've been out that long, or how it feels to you. But what do you still like to think about when you think back at your time at South Dakota and obviously it's a lot of success that you guys had? What comes to mind about your time at USD?
You know, it's always just happy thoughts about it. You know, coming to a new area, but still in the Midwest, obviously in North Dakota, I find people who kind of know about South Dakota women's basketball, or maybe heard about our run in the Sweet 16, or maybe you've heard my name or something. And those, I always joke with those people that they can ask me as many questions as they want because I just love to talk about it. It was some of the best years that I've had, and it's always fun to reminisce and think about those times again and all the fun we had and the memories we made, the lessons we learned. And so anytime I get to think back on all of that and talk about it is always good.
You know, I don't think we ever really talked about this while you were playing at USD, but when you signed and came to South Dakota, there were a lot of people that obviously were very familiar with who you were because you had a great deal of success at Sully Butte High School, and people thought you could be the next one of the next great players. Did you ever feel kind of any of that pressure or any of that extra stuff that you needed to perform well because you could feel the expectations?
No, that's a good question, John. I feel like coming out of high school, I was a little bit oblivious and honestly maybe a little bit ignorant of like what was going on around me. But honestly, I think that helped me out a lot because I wasn't able to like internalize those pressures. You know, I thought we were just playing basketball. And I think too, you know, coming to a new program and moving just from high school to college, there's so much that you're trying to learn. That you're just drinking from a water hose. And so trying to just remember all of that stuff, there isn't a whole lot of time to think about, okay, there's these expectations, who thinks what, you know, and you're just trying to do the best that you can on the team that you're on. And so there's not a whole lot of time to think about some of that other stuff.
Yeah, well, certainly you performed at a high level and had some great teams that you were able to play it with at South Dakota. And after graduation, you elected to move into the coaching ranks. And I know that had been on your radar a little bit. When did you really start to consider transitioning to coaching and kind of going that route?
Well, if you would have asked me, like, Chloe, you thinking about going into coaching in my early years in college, I would have said, heck no, no way. Because I think, you know, my mom was a high school teacher. And so I always just kind of assumed that to be a coach, I needed to be a teacher. You know, that's just kind of how it was familiar for me. And so I was like, heck no, I don't want to be a teacher. I've seen what my mom is doing. I don't want to do that, you know? And so I was very against it to start. But then after, you know, just after my own experience and the coaches that I have had in the past, just, you know, growing up from grade school and then obviously into college, it kind of came in my head of, you know, this actually isn't a bad gig. You know, I would get to get to stay involved and kind of be on the other side of it and hopefully be able to mold and you know, impact girls like me to, you know, continue to have a great experience and, you know, be really good basketball players, but also really good people in their community. And I think there was a, and now I'm not going to remember what year it was, but we had a summer camp and it was our, all of the high schoolers. And I remember getting to kind of coach one of the teams, and I've told this story before, but Taylor Frederick and I were coaching one of the top teams during elite camp. And we were in the championship game. It was a huge deal. We were playing against or coaching against Claudia Kunzer. So I always like to bring this up to her. But we were down at halftime, and Taylor and I putting our heads together, just trying to figure out, like, we can't lose to Claude. Like, we got to figure this stuff out. And so we just kind of, you know, proposed to the players on our team, the campers on our team, some things that Coach P and her staff had done. And it was fun to see how these campers, and only, you know, we didn't even know them for very long and hadn't spent that much time for them, but just totally bought in to what Taylor and I were trying to do. And I know it sounds deeper than it really is, but it was cool to just see, you know, how they responded and how they wanted to win and wanted to compete. And so knowing that we, Taylor and I, played a very small part in something that really isn't a big, big deal and winning that camp championship. But that was kind of the time when I was like, oh, this is actually kind of fun. Maybe I could do this for a little while in the future. And so that I think is when it really, really started. And I remember kind of having some conversations with Coach P that this could be a possibility.
Well, someday when you're a head coach somewhere and you're winning conference championships and perhaps a national championship, we'll know that it all got started at a camp at the University of South Dakota.
Absolutely. That was the starting point.
Chloe, when I think it was maybe your last year, I think, I can't remember if juniors or seniors or how that works, but you went to the conference, so you think you want to be a coach. What was that experience like?
That was a really cool experience. It was in Minneapolis, obviously, so it was cool to, you know, be in a little bit of a familiar place, but not somewhere that I had spent a lot of time in. But it was cool to see, you know, just the other participants that were around me. And actually, there's two of them now that are in, that are GAs or assistant coaches in the Northern Sun. And so that was cool to, like, we kind of ended up in a similar spot. And so I keep up with them a little bit and, you know, obviously kind of work with and against them now as we're in season. But that was just a cool experience. Again, you know, kind of learning some of the stuff that no one ever really tells you about, right? But those, there were coaches who came, and some of the coaches at the highest levels were there, just, you know, sharing insight and advice on, you know, how to not only put your foot in the door to get into this profession, but then how you thrive and succeed and, you know, just little things of how to make the most of it. And so that was really cool to get a bunch of different perspectives, but also as a networking place that I could, you know, I could share my name and I could get other people's phone numbers and, you know, whatever that means down the road. I know that, you know, I've got a little bit of a bug in people's ear, and know that there's a lot of people that I could ask for help or advice anywhere.
Well, as you got into the coaching realm, you obviously got your start at the University of Mary. How did that opportunity come about for you?
Well, so there is an alum from Mary, women's basketball player, who is actually really good family friends with us and lives in my hometown of Oneida. She has her and her husband have a son who was a year younger than I was growing up, and so I knew them, but Patty Georgie, she was one who had been in contact with Coach Newman. And I think Coach Newman had maybe reached out and had heard kind of my story and that I was wanting to be a coach conference. And so he just reached out to her of like, hey, do you know what Chloe's planning on doing? I think we're going to have a position open here. Would you mind either getting her contact info or just giving her my name? And so it was really their relationship that really started it with Coach Newman and I. And then from there, I joke with people that I kind of got recruited again. So that was interesting that, you know, 5 years later, or six even after, you know, when all the recruiting thing was going on in high school, that I was kind of back in the ring doing that again. And so that was fun. But Coach Newman is a very passionate guy. I think it was important for him to have someone from the area, because this is, you know, he recruits from the Midwest and me being very So, yeah, really got recruited by Coach Newman, and then it kind of just felt like a no-brainer. I was really lucky to kind of get into an assistant position right away and really, really jump into things. So I was given a lot of responsibility from the very start. And so I think I've been able to learn a lot just by getting thrown into the fire.
What has been the biggest thing that you have learned about coaching that maybe you either did not know before or did not appreciate as much as you do now?
It's a lot of work, and I think I knew that. You know, anything that you want to do really, really well is going to be a lot of work, but there are a lot of variables, and the first thing I come to think of is just watching film. You know, I always knew Coach P was – honestly kind of crazy for watching all of the film that she did, but I knew that she was always going to be really, really prepared. And so now on this side of things, I understand and like truly realize like, oh yeah, there's a lot that goes into being able to prepare 16 players to be able to know and do whatever they need to do to be as successful as they can be on the court. And so in a way, I understood that it was going to be a lot of work and that I was going to be challenged, but I've been a little bit surprised with that, to be honest.
Well, it's certainly something that you have to adapt to, and you are currently doing that in the coaching realm. How much of it, you know, since you got into it, have you thought more about, yeah, this is definitely a good choice for me, or started to wonder, man, am I doing the right thing?
Right. You know, I think there's many moments throughout a day, throughout a game, throughout a week, throughout a season, where it goes both ways, right? There might be something that happens and you're like, dang, this really is not what I should be doing. You know, maybe I need to think about doing something else. And then the next moment, you know, you have a kid that's sitting in your office for a couple hours just talking about life, and, you know, they'll say something. And after that, you're like, okay, yeah, this is why I got into it. This is what. And so I think back and forth every day, but I like to think that maybe this is just to make me feel better. But I like to think that anybody in any profession thinks that, you know, there's always going to be the days where, you know, it's reassuring and you feel really, really good about it.
Chloe, you have a unique situation as a coach right now. One of your players, of course, a sister to Madison McKeever, who you played with. Kind of a unique situation. What is that like,
yep,
coaching the sister of someone that you played so many games with?
Yeah, it's funny. When we were first starting to kind of recruit her and seeing that it was maybe a possibility that she could be on our team, I'd hope she wasn't keeping count how many times I called her Maddie, just out of habit, because the way that they play, the way that they talk, like, it's like being around Maddie again. They are so similar, and obviously have their differences, but it's been fun because it feels like a little while that Maddie and I have played together. Like you said, we played a lot of games together, but it's been a little bit. And so then to have Mariah back and to see her family in the stands and talk to them, it's a good reminder. And again, kind of brings back some good memories with Maddie and all of those good times.
as you look ahead, kind of obviously you're locked into a season right now. What are your goals, kind of short term, long term, or how much have you really thought about that, and how much are you just focused on what you're doing right now?
Yeah, I think especially being in season, you know, we're just full force ahead on trying to be the best that we can be this season, being one of those top teams in the NFIC, and I think that is something that's very likely for us. It's a good conference. It's a conference where you got to show up every night or someone might surprise you. And so that, you know, that can make it kind of fun and interesting or not so fun and not so interesting. But so right now in season, obviously just doing whatever we can to be really, really successful. But as far as in the future, I like to tell people that I'm not really seeking anything out, but I will explore things if they come. That's a question that I get a lot. But yeah, just kind of taking everything one step at a time, one day at a time, and again, trying to be a sponge and just take everything in, learn everything I can, and just kind of go from there.
Well, keep doing what you're doing. It's great to see you having success in the coaching world and kind of chasing that career path and following that dream, Chloe. Thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it. Have a great holiday break and good luck the rest of the year with you, Mary.
Thank you, John. I really appreciate this. I hope to see you in Berm sometime soon and everyone and all of the other Yotes. But Merry Christmas to you. I really appreciate this.
That is Chloe Lamb, an assistant coach currently for the University of Mary women's basketball team. And you can tell that she's very passionate, really enjoying what she's doing right now in the coaching world. So excited to see where her career ends up taking her. Chloe Lamb, one of the greats when it comes to women's basketball at the University of South Dakota. Earlier this week, Bob Nielsen of the football staff signed a handful of guys to the program, and I had a chance to chat with Coach Nielsen this week about that recruiting class that he was able to bring in to the University of South Dakota. Coach, you and your coaching staff able to put the ball on another early signing class this week and get these guys locked into being a part of the football program. You look at this group, and obviously a very balanced group with offensive and defensive players. You did get a kicker in this group as well, a couple of transfers. What's your initial kind of reaction to this class that you guys were able to put together?
Well, feel really good about the group, John. Outstanding group of young men, besides the fact that they're really good football players. And, you talked about balance, and that's really what recruiting classes need to be. They need to balance both some specific needs and also balance overall depth on your roster. And this group does that in both regards. And, even though we're not done, we'll still continue to recruit, and we'll add a couple of additional guys to this group in February. Feel really good about where we're at.
When you look at this group, if somebody were to, kind of go up and down the list, nine of the players come from the states of either Nebraska, South Dakota, or Iowa. How important has that been for you and your staff to try to, stay close in a region? You still got to get the players a little bit outreached, but to get more players from the kind of local geography.
We always want that geographic what we call the Midwest region to be a focal point of our recruiting, and the state of South Dakota, Nebraska, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, even Kansas, Illinois, that Midwestern region area that we're going to recruit every year. And then I do think it's important as a Division I school that you have some places where you can also be more national in your recruiting, and those places continue to show up every year in classes for us with the work that we're doing in Florida. And then, we added a couple of new players from the state of Colorado this year, which, if you look at our roster, is an area that's continuing to grow.
Yeah, in this class, Coach, a couple of transfers, three of them from St. Thomas, Monmouth, an offensive lineman, D lineman from UConn. How important are those transfer pieces as you try to sometimes get guys who have maybe got some game experience to be immediate impact guys?
We look at transfer recruiting as an ability to address maybe a specific need or two. We want our program to be about development, recruiting those incoming freshmen that are going to be 4 or 5 year contributors within our program. At the same time, with the way that the transfer portal and the NCAA overall is working now, you have to be attentive to the fact that there might be a player or two that adds to your team, both in level of play and also in experience at specific positions. And so that's what we've tried to do and identify those, you know, couple of positions where the right transfer that brings the right experience helps elevate us to compete at a national level next fall.
You know, I think every time that signing day rolls around, people obviously get excited because they can see the future of the football program, and the minds of fans immediately go to, well, how many of these freshmen have a chance to see the field right away? And I know you're a guy who give everybody a fair shot who's on this football team, but how many of these guys are looked at as maybe guys who we saw it this year could contribute right away as a true freshman?
That's where the four-game redshirt rule has really changed things. You know, we had a number of freshmen that actually played in a game or a couple of games this year. We had two freshmen that we ended up not fully redshirting, but there were probably a dozen freshmen that actually got a chance to play I would say, you know, that's going to be a pretty consistent situation for us that, you know, with the quality of the young men that we're bringing in, there's always going to be a couple of them that work their way to a situation where they're playing and using a year of eligibility where the vast majority of them are going to redshirt. But that doesn't mean that you're not going to see them on a Saturday or two in the fall.
Coach, when you look at this group, we've seen some a little bit in the past, not a ton, but do any of these guys get to South Dakota for the spring semester and join this team? I mean, maybe the transfers, maybe some of the guys as early enrolls, do they get to Vermilion a little bit early and work out with the team in the spring?
Yeah, the transfers for the most part are going to be here in the spring and be a part of spring practice. You know, we may have one or two freshmen that enroll early, but primarily the freshmen are going to be entering in the summer, and it'll just be the transfers and as last year, maybe one or two freshmen that start in January.
Coach, it's hard to look at this list and not notice another defensive back from Miramar, Florida.
Yeah, it's you know, I think it tells you something about the experience that young men are having in your program when you continue to get quality people from the same high school that's that far away. Obviously, the coaching staff there the message that's coming back to them and to other young men at that school is that South Dakota, University of South Dakota, is a great place. And they do a great job there at that school of developing players. And so to add another one that we think can come in and be an immediate impact in our program is a great thing, but also represents the work that we're doing recruiting in out-of-state areas.
Coach, I know you mentioned the next signing period in February, and then of course there's a portal window that opens after the spring semester. How do you go about now evaluating where your program is at and identifying the needs to solidify things with that February signing period and the use of the portal, if that's the route that you go as you get closer to the summer workouts?
Well, that's the one thing that the early signing date has really allowed you to do is you know right now how, in late December, where the vast majority of your recruiting is at, and then it really allows you to focus on the remaining pieces to fill the class. And you know, we'll sign another small handful of freshmen for the second signing date in February, and in that same regard, add a couple more transfer student athletes to our roster as well. But it really is when the early signing date came out, I don't think anybody really knew how it was going to work, but it is definitely become the norm in Division I football, where ourselves as well as the vast majority of Division I classes are pretty well locked in at this time.
Overall, how do you feel that this group that your staff was able to put together kind of it can be that next cog to build off the momentum that we had this season on a special year and take that that step forward for the program that allows your program to keep raising the standard?
Our staff did a great job identifying the right people. Quality students, quality athletes, young men that we think have a great future, not just as football players, but the ability to be future leaders in our program. And we're excited to get that group in here. Definitely the year that we had helped secure this class. Young men want to be a part of a winner, want to be a part of something special, and this year demonstrated that in addition to being an outstanding school academically and being a place that provides great opportunity for athletes at the Division I level, that we're a program that's going to continue to compete at a national level. And put those three things together, it's exciting for the future and exciting to have these young men on board as a part of that future.
Yeah, we're excited to see their future as part of the Kiowa football program. Coach, we're in a period of transition right now with the athletic director position, but now people, after you get the bulk of your signing class, everybody wants to get excited about next season. How close are we to a finalized football schedule, and how involved with that are you?
Well, we're close. Our new conference schedule is set. The majority of our non-conference schedule is set, with one exception that we hope to be finalizing here over the course of the next couple of weeks, so we can get that announced in early January. It's one of those years in which FCS is allowed to play 12 games, and so the opportunity to have six home games again, which is something that we had this past year, and that is an opportunity to make sure we've got plenty of high quality home games here in the Dakota Dome. So fans just need to be a little patient here, and we hope to be able to formally announce that schedule here within the next 3-4 weeks.
All right, we're excited for it. Coach, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. Congrats on another signing class. I know it's always a feel-good thing when you get that signing class wrapped up. So congrats on that, and thanks for the time.
Appreciate it, John. Thanks.
He's Bob Nielsen, the head football coach of the University of South Dakota. The Coyotes, of course, signed a handful of guys this week to join the football program, and we'll see how they adapt. Some of these guys will be impact guys potentially right away. Other guys will get the opportunity to redshirt and will really be the future of the football program. Well, it's time now to take a look at what's going on in Coyote Athletics, and we obviously have some days off here. The Coyote men's basketball team wraps up its stretch before the holidays on Thursday night at San Diego against the Toreros, and that's the only thing really going on here for the next week. The next action that we will see is December 29th when the Coyote women's basketball team will host North Dakota State. The men's basketball team that night will play at North Dakota State. Get your tickets for the women's game at GoYotes.com, and while you're there, get your tickets for the men's game on New Year's Eve. The Coyote men will take on Omaha, while the women will play at Omaha. Both of those games will start at 2 o'clock. So the two games on the 29th start at 7. Two games on the 31st on New Year's Eve start at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That is going to do it for us this week. That's a look at Coyote Athletics and what is going on in Coyote Athletics. Hope you can catch a game, match, or meet very, very soon. That's going to wrap it up for us this week. I hope you have a great weekend, however you choose to spend it. And we'll be back with another episode of the Yotecast podcast coming up very soon, likely next week. We'll get you another episode of the Yotecast podcast. I'm John Thayer. Have a great rest of your weekend. And until next time, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.